No, we've a new another guest, not a new guest. I expect he's been on before, but in the I suppose we're changing now maybe to the world of farming, and we're delighted to welcome Stephen Walsh, who is the newly elected chairperson of Clare IFA. Stephen, you're very welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
I suppose, Stephen, you know, we were chatting there beforehand, and I suppose depending on who you are and what your outlook is, farmers can be perceived as in many different ways.
No, absolutely. And I suppose I was thinking actually last night of, you know, how do you present this? Because there's so many issues. So I decided to... I decided to deal with this as a sort of like a play. And we have the concept of heroes and villains. I've said that the framework I'm saying is basically a dad decides to transfer his farm to the next generation. He transferred, I decided, to be his daughter. She's very ambitious. She knows she wants to take over the land. She knows a little bit history about land and farming, and we can talk about, you know, the Brian Boru and the Fenians, Robert Emmett, Wolfe Tone, Charles Stuart Parnell, Easter Rising, Famine, the Field, and that whole concept of history, heritage, you know, and what all this, you know, ownership of land is about. She knows a lot about the local, or her bits and pieces of the local about, you know, farm names and what they mean, field names, what it meant, you know, and the whole history and that's developed around this space of farming. Her dad, I've put her down, has been a beef farmer, a dairy and beef farmer, and obviously the daughter is, every girl would be, apple of his eye. Obviously, he was constrained by milk quotas from 85 to 2015, and the government or policy decided that in 2015 the milk quotas would go. So obviously, young, ambitious young farmer wanted to start out, and obviously opportunity, milk quotas are going. And she decided that, yes, she would take over the farm, she'd become a specialised dairy farmer. The government, because again, was encouraging females and young farmers, and decided they'd give a grant, 60%. Banks, as you said, the big slogan, backing brave. Government said, you know, milk quota's gone, ambition. We have a food harvest 2020. We want you to drive on this whole process. On most farms, there's actually three generations. We had the parents, farmers, and probably even the children. So you have a whole generation of farmers on farms. So obviously...
And they're all working on the farm, of course.
No, absolutely.
Including the children, yes, and the grandparents.
Even though that is changing fast. But anyway, I'll drive on with my whole play and my hair. So again, obviously, you know, she needed to build new sheds, milking parlour, bull tanks, farm roads. Sure, the banks were more friendly. There was money, was no object. All that they needed was the deeds. The local community were intrigued. I mean, all these new faces around the place. There was guys, you know, in the local shops, restaurants, you know, tradesmen, all contributing to the local community. Sure, Dad, he was bursting with pride, you know, all this development going on. So she also needed to build the stock. So the co-ops, merchants, where she needed to more feed to feed young stock. And the whole thing was buzzing ahead, you know, opportunity, new development, everything going great. She was employing a huge amount of people between, you know, supporting the local co-op, construction, contractors. She was very interested in, you know, had a very good business plan, better breeding. And again, but in all of this, she got a few setbacks, as you do. She discovered that obviously the grant didn't work out as strong as you would expect it to be. I mean, the 60% grant, I mean, there was a lot of cost not covered. In terms of her VAT that she expected to get back on most of her equipment, that didn't happen with all of this thing. With new stock, she needed new slurry tanks. She had to buy She needed to get the slurry out at the correct time, as with the environment. So she needed a bigger tractor to pull a bigger tank. And obviously with the new shoe spray tanks, this is basically where the slurry has to go direct into the ground in slurry injection. Obviously had to buy bigger scale and everything. But again, this was all to enhance the environment. It was to improve the environment. And again, it was became part of the business of farming. Obviously, you'd say, well, why didn't she get contractors to do this? Well, she did as best she could, but she found that the contractors were so busy because with time frames, deadlines, with in terms of how farming is done through a calendar, that the time frame that she needed to get work done was so tight that they weren't available when she needed them. And she found that they were trying to do it when it wasn't actually opportune time in terms of weather and other things. But yet the deadline was there and she had to get the job done. She now talked about, the nitrates. Nitrates, again, was introduced. And within this whole story, she found that now the new policy said that she needed to keep, instead of 2018, the EPA decided that, yes, water quality was deteriorating. So to try and improve that, you need to cut back on stock levels. But these are the very stock levels that she needed to finance all of the ambition that she had there previously. Obviously, with any story, you can talk about tragedies. And in any good story, we could talk about the tragedy of ash dieback. And again, where disease has come in, no fault of the farmer. And all these trees are dying. And so part of a tragedy. You could talk about TB, Young's disease, fire safety. We could talk about depression, suicide, stress. And all of these are incorporated within all of these aspects of how farming goes. Does the stress of...
Could I ask you, actually, Stephen... apropos, it hit me very strongly. The question of biosecurity. That's not a kind of a concept that was readily, if you like, taken on board.
Not
it wasn't.
No, I mean, you see.
By the way, I should add that the focus of this is. No, let you go ahead and we can come in on it again.
Okay. Well, again, I suppose I want to try and convey the pressures of all of these asks from government, from institutions, from inspectorate. It causes a lot of stress in farming.
Would the ash, now taking you as a classic dairy farmer, you've gone through the pig world. You were in pig farming.
Yeah, well, yeah, my brother still is.
Yeah. And I mean, you wouldn't have been kind of too tuned in to things like the beetle that's now replacing the ash. The dieback in the ash, we now know about it.
Yes.
We're going to know about the beetle.
Yes, there has been discovered a bark beetle actually in Cracklow.
Right. Yeah.
Again, apparently it's from Mexico, is where it originated.
This is where the biosecurity comes in.
Well, I suppose that there again a good question. We don't know where it came in from. We can make assumptions that it could have come in through planes. It could have come in through fines, port of importing, you know, timber with bark on it. But again, I suppose there is inspectorate there in charge of monitoring and making sure that this doesn't happen. We are an island nation.
Yeah.
And really and truly, I mean, we have the issue with acres and the whitethorns. And I think it's firefly.
Yeah.
Another disease again, this potential. But... We need to make sure that the biosecurity is in place is actually working. But because we have an open we can't be seen to keep these. So we're compromised, to make it in a sense.
And we can't enhance our biosecurity.
Well, sure we can. I mean, sure, the best enhancement is it says we don't take it in, because then you can't get the disease in. And encourage and develop and give time, as in the acres, I mean, the planting was to be done this March, which you're, look.
Yes.
Sometimes there's ridiculous asks in terms of what can be done. And then you actually bring in plants from somewhere else because they're not available here and because they have to be done by such a deadline. And sure, it just creates the problem. Whereas really we need to grow those plants here. We need to have native plants and so on.
Now we're moving towards that reality.
I suppose we're beginning to discover where the reality is. By doing it the way we're doing it, we're making too many mistakes. I mean, the mistakes in terms of the ash dieback, in terms of the potential disease in whitethorns,
yeah.
And in terms of, well, how did this bark beetle actually get here from Mexico?
Yes.
So.
And when you're chair of the Clare IFA, correct?
Yes.
That's your.
Yes.
What drew you into that world?
Again, I'm going to try and pull you through the rest of this, and I might get to that. I'll answer that question.
Yeah.
Is that fair enough?
That's perfect.
So again, I'm going to bring you back to the story of the tragedies, and you know, so obviously then that brings up, you know, bank interest rates lately, in the last, you know, couple of years, 8%. So you can understand, you know, the opportunity of trying to build up, but now the cost of that is just out of your control. We know the last year AIB banks, 2 billion profit. I think Bank of Ireland, 1.6 billion. That is on the back of what we call opportunity. And you hear that slogan that burns me in my head, backing brave.
The which?
The slogan of AIB, backing brave.
Back, oh yes.
That's their slogan. So we can talk about the other things, about conditionality, and, you know, there's a book of 100 pages in what you have to comply by. We can talk about veganism, and we talk about, you know, that attitude by someone committed that, you know, we should be all actually eating grain, fruits, nuts, instead of eating, you know, animal and that.
Yeah.
But again, I suppose we have to, I have to caution, you know, we have gone through a horrendous few months. We've been, have constant rain since nearly the ploughing match. You remember the ploughing match last yes. September, yeah. And the rain that was at that stage. And it seems to have continued till now. It opens up the debate for climate change. But anyway, the issue on veganism, there was very little winter barley grain sown this year. So if we as a population decide we're going to focus on that as a space, sure, that means that, you know, we have all our eggs in one basket. We have to be mm-hmm. very careful. We need a balance. We need all of these products, and we need to support all of them. So I'm going back to my little story about, you know, that obviously this girl farmer needs profit to make profit, because obviously she needs to pay back the banks.
Yeah.
To make profit, she needs, obviously, she has to pay revenue because she's making profit.
Yes.
So the government gets their percentage back that she encouraged her to get in. The banks are going to get their money back, because if they don't, they're going to take her farm. And then there's the whole new of nature restoration stuff.
So what's the answer, Stephen?
I suppose that is a very good question. And that's why we see the farmers all over Europe out on the streets.
Yes, yes.
The frustration, that anger. And it is all of that because, in a sense, we're nearly sold those false promises. We're nearly built up to fail if that's because... The assert, you know, a farmer, if you break it back down, he's there to produce food. That's his basic game. That's his goal. You know, we put, like any of us this morning, we have our milk, our bread, or, you know, for lunch, we'll have potatoes and carrots. And we see the criteria. There we go into the likes of Lidl, Tesco's, Dunn's, Aldi. We can buy our kilo of carrots for 49 cent. Sure, look, anyone with any brains of sense would know that nobody, any of us, can produce that at 49 cent. But how is it done? Because you then have to go so big. And obviously carrots, you know, it takes a period to sow them and grow them and machinery and all that space. And you have to get so big. So now you're beholden, you know, to the banks, to everyone else. So you haven't a choice really to get out or say, well, actually, I need more, because they'll say, well, this is what we're going to give you. This is the contract. And so that's a whole new issue as well in
and
the space.
And is that, which is a fascinating area, is that begin to happen, that the farmers are uniting behind a particular philosophy?
I suppose it's developing in so many ways, really. I suppose initially the frustration was aimed at the farming organisation, specifically IFA, in terms of all of this was happening. And there was a lot of, we'll call them, for the want of a better, splinter groups. You know, you have ICSA, Farmers for Natura. And look, all very ambitious, interested people that really wanted to see change. But from a governmental point of view, they brought them all into the room, and you had now 10 different organisations. And sure, they spent all their time trying to bring their point across, but they could sit back and and do nothing for the want of a better. So I think we need to unite all of us under one umbrella. That's my view.
I was going to ask you, because I'm looking at the clock as well. How would you like to see things develop? And that's basically what you're getting into now.
Well, I suppose, I suppose, look, when we talk about this whole... Look, there's a lot of good out there. We talk about the landscape. We talk about the history, the heritage, the, you know, 5,000 years of farming. And when we look at the 40 shades of green that's out there, it's because of the farmers, you know. And again, to go back to that space, like the question, you know, why am I here? What, you know, why did I take on this job? And in my people... They're the heroes. These are the people that I have, you know, agreed to voluntarily represent as Clare chair in IFA. In me, I believe these are the heroes, because these are the people that feed us. These are the people that maintain the landscape. They maintain the heritage, history, all of that space. But sure, look, there's a huge, time is running up. There's a huge sequel to all of this story.
But we can come back another time to, you know, expand on this. But I'm thinking of that girl. I mean, is she real?
Well, she
is she a figment of your imagination?
He is, you know, they're figments of my imagination as I'm telling you the story there. But there's hundreds of them all throughout.
All our stories are in them, the stories of our families.
And as I say, the sequels is about, you know, this Mercurial deal, the Brazilian beef.
Yes, yes. That's, you know, raises its head.
Absolutely. Again, how this fictitious girl, how is she doing in 2024?
How is she doing?
I mean, well, again, there's a whole, I mean, I could go on for a whole another show.
Yeah.
But good question. I can talk about nitrates. I can talk about this nature restoration law. I can talk about enough is enough and the campaign that, you know, we as farmers have at the moment. I can talk about conditionality and this book of 100 plus pages of rules of how we have to govern. I can talk about the language of farming, beasts, crease, eco schemes, all of that space. And
are you thinking, I'd like you to think in terms of somebody who'd like to have the keys to the kingdom, you know, who'd like to have the authority and the power and the influence to be able to get at the civil servant or servants who man the agriculture department.
Again,
and you have difficulty in dealing with them.
Look, no question on that. And I mean, as I said, when I was putting this together at about 5:30 in the morning, and I was there in my bed listening to the dawn chorus. Birds were out singing, and I said, well, you know, there's a lot of good stuff we're doing. But you're wondering, you know, and I talking about this discussion, am I actually dreaming?
But you know, always dreamt. I've known you for a goodly number of years, and you were always a dreamer, and that's very, very important. I mean, I see it. Out of dreams come visions, and we'll have to come back.
No, absolutely.
Talk about the vision.
Again, as you say, you know, you asked about influencing politics. I mean, the laws and rules, and as I again said, that there's I could bring a trolley load of them to show you the complexity.
So I hear.
They're being created as we're going on. You know, there's people in offices in Ennis, and, you know, any day you go in, there's 200, 300, 400 cars. They're all have jobs in, you know, and criteria. And we need to turn all of that on its head. I would say get rid of the inspectorates, get rid of the... And start working, say, well, right, if there's an issue with water quality, let's actually sit down with the farmers and say, right, you know, maybe you need to do it this way. Let's devise a plan of how you might do this, and let's see how that would affect you economically, that you'll be sustainable into the future. Let's, instead of all of these, you know, we have a satellite flying over our heads 5 days, every day, you know, monitoring what we're doing. What did that cost? Look at if that money was given on the ground of, you know, hydrologists, agronomists, all of those ideologists. I've seen, well, actually, yeah, because, you know, you're influencing in one fashion, let's approach it from the bottom-up space, which I always have talked about, and see, let's solve this problem. Let's, okay, if there's too much slurry, you know, maybe we need to have a longer-term forecast and actually say, okay, we don't need a closed beer from dang to dang. Let's say, actually, know that there's an opportunity now, maybe look after it in that space, rather than saying, no. Let's try and find solutions to the issues.
Okay. Listen, we'll have to finish it on that because we have only seconds left.
Yeah, we could spend days talking about it.
Well, we start talking.
Yeah, it begs the, you know, I mean, on the one hand, you know, farmers complain, but on the other hand, you're coming up with solutions there, or potential solutions, which is a, you know, is a very positive thing. And I think we'll carry on from that the next day.
I think the message in what I was trying to say, I think the general public have to start recognising us and all of our as heroes, instead of looking at them at the space of villains. Maybe look at the villains in terms of some of these policymakers, some of these banking that just drives up interest and all that. So anyway,
okay.
That's my talk for today.